Hi, everybody. This is Brad with the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties. You are listening to WGXC ACRA, Columbia and Greene Counties, 90.7 on the dial.
Hi, I'm Michael Wild, host of Mostly Singles, airing every fourth Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m. on WGXC. Maya. I play music I love, mostly 45s, with cuts from obscure collectible LPs, rare 78s, field recordings, and more. Tune in, too, for special guests, international and local artists, musicians extraordinaire. That's Mostly Singles on WGXC 90.7 FM and online at WGXC.org. It's happening.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia Ortiz. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every Monday from 3:30 to 4, talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, but mostly books we love.
Books and books, and bookish things.
Today's a really good Monday, because I didn't have school today.
Hooray!
Happy Columbus Day.
Yes, and happy, also, Indigenous Peoples Day, which brings us to our poem of the week. Which is
yes, your view of Columbus Day really shifts after you're in AP US history for a few months.
But yeah, so today's both Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day, and so we're reading a poem by Joy Harjo, who is an American Indian, and it's called Remember. Remember the sky that you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon. Know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn. That is the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and the giving away tonight. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father. He is your life also. Remember the earth, whose skin you are. Red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth, we are earth. Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them, listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind, remember her voice. She knows the origin of this universe. Remember you are all people and all people are you. Remember you are this universe and this universe is you. Remember all is in motion, is growing, is you. Remember language comes from this. Remember the dance language is that life is. Remember.
Ooh.
Whee.
It's cool.
That's from Joy Harjo's She Had Some Horses.
Ooh.
I've read some books by her.
It's interesting
as well.
How you talked about like the Indigenous Peoples Day, part of Columbus Day, and that poem kind of reflects some stuff I learned about the Indigenous Peoples of America, and that they believed in a kind of religion called animism, in which they believed in spirits and things relating to nature and personified nature a lot like that poem did.
Cool. Yay. That's a lovely poem. And that was from the Poetry Foundation. Or no, is it Poetry Foundation? Poets.org, which I think is from the Academy of American Poets, and they have a section on poems for teens, which is, I thought, where I found this, but no, I'm not sure. But it's on poets.org. You could find it there. But next, before we dive into talking about some of the books we've been reading, we're going to talk about some of the books that are coming out this week that we're excited about. Here, I'm going to have Amelia start us off with the one of them.
The one called What If It's Us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, oh, wait. Where does it start? Just at the top? Okay. It says, critically acclaimed and best-selling authors Becky Albertall and Adam Silvera combine their talents in this smart, funny, heartfelt collaboration about two very different boys who can't decide if the universe is pushing them together or pulling them apart. This is Arthur, not author. Okay. I didn't know. Arthur is only because their names are capitalized. I'm trying to read it like a script, but that's not the way it is. I'm sorry.
Arthur says
Arthur is only in New York for the summer, but if Broadway has taught him anything, it's that the universe can deliver a show-stopping romance when you least expect it. Ben thinks the universe needs to mind its business. If the universe had his back, he wouldn't be on his way to the post office carrying a box of his ex-boyfriend's things. But when Arthur and Ben meet cute at the post office, what exactly does the universe have in store for them? Maybe nothing. After all, they get separated. Maybe everything. After all, they get reunited. I believe that's it. Okay.
Cool. I'm excited about this book personally because I've read two books now, I guess, by Becky Albertalli. The most famous one of hers is the one that the movie Love, Simon was based on.
Oh.
So Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda.
Yes.
I think it's the title of the book. And then Adam Silvera, I've read one book by, and I started another one and really liked it, but then had to put it down to read some other things. So I'm just waiting for the chance to read that one again.
Hmm.
But I feel like Becky Albertalli does really good contemporary fiction, and Adam Silvera, the books that I've read by him have they read as contemporary, but they have like a little magic realism in them, or sci-fi aspect, depending on how you look at it. And so I'm curious to see what they do when they join forces. So that's What If It's Us, which comes out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Another one that comes out tomorrow is Hearts Unbroken by Cynthia Leetich Smith. It's New York Times best-selling author Cynthia Leetich Smith turns to realistic fiction with the thoughtful story of a Native teen navigating the complicated, confusing waters of high school and first love. When Louise Wolfe's first real boyfriend mocks and disrespects Native people in front of her, she breaks things off and dumps him over email. It's her senior year anyway, and she'd rather spend her time with her family and friends and working on the school newspaper. The editors pair her up with Joey Carruz, the ambitious new photojournalist, and in no time the paper staff find themselves with a major story to cover. The school musical director's inclusive approach to casting The Wizard of Oz has been provoking backlash in their mostly white, middle-class Kansas town. From the newly formed Parents Against Revisionist Theater to anonymous threats, long-held prejudices are being laid bare and hostilities are spreading against teachers, parents, and students, especially the cast members at the center of the controversy, including Lou's little brother, who's playing the Tin Man. As tensions mount at school, so does a romance between Lou and Joey. But as she's learned, dating while Native can be difficult. In trying to protect her own heart, will Lou break Joey's? Interesting.
Yeah.
We've got, that's interesting, the first book has a kid that's really into Broadway shows, and then the third one's about centered on school theater. Very cool. So those are both coming out tomorrow. Those sound interesting. Ooh. You should check them out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now we're going to talk about some books. Do you want to start us off, Amelia?
Sure. I almost finished if you don't have anything nice to say. I know, it's been a very long time. I had a lot of textbook reading to do.
I've had books like that where it takes, you know, like a month to get through it, even though you like it. And even though...
I think this is going to be a rare week where I don't have to do as much textbook reading, so I should get finished with it real quick and...
I see Amelia with a textbook far too often.
Oh, yeah. Teachers, always, listen constantly.
Up. Stop with the textbooks.
And then I have something that may have, like, jumped the line of books I'm going to read. It may have jumped in front of Splendors and Glooms, called St. Peter's Gate, Path of Darkness by Fran Comisanis, who...
It's got a wild cover there.
Oh, yes. It's really cool.
Some beastie thing.
And I actually met the author... At the tent sale they hold in Greenport Park to raise money for breast cancer.
Cool.
I forgot what it's called, but I dance at that, and that's where I found this. The author had a little booth and signed it for me.
Are they local or?
I believe so. And he talked about how he like found the image of the cover and asked for it to be like edited. And he said something like, it's a picture of a wolf that looks like it's kind of coming out of a brick wall or is graffitied very detailed in a very detailed manner onto a brick wall. He said that once I start reading it, the cover will make a lot more sense.
That's
the
cool.
Back here. And I guess it's part of a series. And he said he's currently writing the second book. It says, the description says, bitter and resentful towards humanity because of her past life, a ruthless hunter demon tracks and claims the souls of her human victims, offering them nothing but terror and death. As her career as a hunter progresses, she discovers that a rogue demon is hatching a diabolical plot to raise an army of demons to take control of St. Peter's Gate to assert power. As the hunter begins to discover more about her past, she finds out that the rogue demon is responsible for her family's death. Will the knowledge of what really happened to her family change her feelings about humanity, or will she be dragged into darkness consumed by her constant contact with the damned souls that she harvests? That is the most clear I've ever read a book description without stuttering. I just wanted to say that.
Accomplishment. Cool. That sounds fun.
I kept misreading the back as Demon Hunter, and only, like, yesterday when I was, like, rereading the back for the fourth time did I see Hunter Demon. That was immediately like, oh, no, I need to read this.
A little different. Awesome.
It won the gold seal of excellence in... of literary excellence. I guess I didn't have to tip the book upside down to read that because it was round and I thought it had to, it went around. Yeah.
Oh, well, I have a book that I read this past week that is just right for the October Halloween-y season.
Ooh.
I'm not always successful with it, but every fall in October, I try to like read some scary books in honor of Halloween. And sometimes I'm successful and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I end up just reading a bunch of other stuff. But this one, I think the second book in the series just came out and it made me realize that I hadn't read the first one. So I was like, I should read that and see what it's like. See if I want to read the second one. Which seems to happen with me a lot when second books come out that sound really good. So I start read the first one. But it's called The Witch Boy by Molly Knox Ostertag, who is a graphic novel. And I've read another book by her called Strong Female Protagonist. And I think she's done the artwork for some other books, but not as the author of the book.
Yeah.
But it's a very nice full color graphic novel.
Ooh.
Good for like middle grade and teen readers and adults like me. Yeah, it's a very, the artwork's very nice. And the story's very nice too. It's about a young boy named Aster who's born into a family where everyone has magical abilities. And historically, the boys are all shapeshifters.
Ooh.
And the women are all witches. But Aster has not gotten the hang of shapeshifting. And is very interested in witchcraft and the lessons that all the girls are learning. Ooh. And so sort of like sneaks into the lessons, you know, climbs trees or like hangs out in hiding places to try to learn some magic and finds other ways to learn magic as well. And really finds that he has some skill with magic.
And this book is called The Witch Boy?
The Witch Boy.
I might have to add that to my Christmas list. Yeah, I've started to build really up good. My Christmas list.
But of course... witchery among boys is frowned upon. There's one family member, you know, farther up the tree who had also dabbled in witchcraft and things did not go well. So the family's very much against him doing this, although loves him all the same. But at one point, one of the boys who has learned how to shapeshift goes missing. And so Aster realizes that he can help try to find his cousin by doing some of the witchcraft that he's been secretly learning.
Hmm.
And he does have one confidant. He meets a friend in a neighboring town named Charlie, who's a young girl who's an athlete, except she has hurt her leg and is in a cast and so is kind of stuck away from her sports and also is dealing with... the fact that when she was younger, the sports were all co-ed, and now as she's getting older, the boys and girls are separated in sports, and so she's not able to play some of the sports that she loves.
Oh.
And the boys' sports are given more attention. So she also has some sort of gender expectations in her life, too. So they form a nice bond, and Aster's able to, you know, confide in her. So that's a nice little side story in the book, too. But yeah. So I'm curious to see what happens in book two. I think the new one is called The Hidden Witch, I think.
Oh. My informant, my dad, just informed me that the thing in Greenport Park is called Day of Hope, and the author is from Kinderhook.
All right. Thanks, Sizzy. cool.
Awesome. When we bought the book from his booth, too, he was also reading Dante's Inferno.
I am actually reading another scary book for Halloween, which is Shirley Jackson's The Haunting of Hill House.
Ooh.
Which is really good so far. So I'll hopefully have finished that by next week.
I recently rediscovered a bunch of old Arl Stein Goosebumps episodes on Netflix. And I went through and watched a ton of them that I had previously watched a while back, and they're so cheesy, but they're so fun to watch. Those are the first things I ever borrowed from the library.
Oh, yeah, the Goosebumps books.
Just one after the other. I just grab one and be like, yep, this looks good. And since there are no chronological order, as long as I grab one that doesn't obviously say two or the return of in the title, I can, like, basically read it.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a go-to, like, horror author. So this time of year, I just try to find something that's, like, a little creepy. So it could be a thriller, could be a haunting horror story.
I have go-to, like, Halloween movies and TV shows, but not many go-to authors.
This is a little off topic because it's not necessarily about youth fiction, but it is book related. I want to let people know that there's an author reading this week at the library on Friday, October 12th at 6 p.m. Helen Benedict is going to be at the library reading from and talking about The Wolf Season. Or, sorry, just Wolf Season. No, The Wolf. and it's set in the Catskills, so that was pretty cool. I can read the description here. After a hurricane devastates a small town in upstate New York, the lives of three women and their young children are irrevocably changed. That word is hard. Rin, an Iraq War veteran, tries to protect her blind daughter and the three wolves under her care. Naima, a widowed doctor who fled Iraq with her wounded son, faces life-threatening injuries and confusion about her feelings for Louis, a veteran and widower harboring his own secrets and guilt. Beth, who is raising a troubled son, waits out her Marine husband's deployment in Afghanistan, equally afraid of him coming home and of him never returning at all. As they struggle to maintain their humanity and find hope, their war-torn lives collide in a way that will affect their entire community.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's cool.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting book. And so she'll be at the library this Friday at 12 to read from, talk about, sign copies of the book. Mm-hmm. And by the library, I mean Hudson Area Library.
Yeah.
For those just tuning in, there are many libraries, many wonderful libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So do you have anything else on your to-read list this month?
I'm probably going to reread The Scary States of America, as I usually do every year around Halloween. let's see. I don't have much else. I have to decide after I finish this if I want to read Splendors and Glooms or St. Peter's Gate next.
I think Splendors and Glooms, I can't remember if that has a little bit of a light sort of horror element or not. Does it, Izzy? Our listener out there has read the book. I know it's fantasy, but I can't remember if there's like a little creepiness to it.
And but, there's also... Yeah. There's also these, there's this manga author who makes these really, really good, horror manga that are really, like, thick books, and none of them are connected to each other, but he does these really, really cool, disturbing illustrations in each one. So, like, the horror isn't even really in the story, but just the imagery, and I might want to read, I've only read one of his books that I can't remember the name of because it's in Japanese and has a lot of syllables. But the one I want to read next is also in Japanese and has a lot of syllables, but I might try to get to one of those.
Awesome. Another thing I realized I talked about on the show briefly as in talking about it, debuting on Netflix, but I didn't talk about it since I watched it, although I haven't finished it yet, but the Hilda series, which is a new show for kids on Netflix, is based on a comic series that I've really loved by Luke Pearson, which is also a kid's comic series. And it's been really fun watching it. I think some of it is directly from the comics and some of it is new. And it's about a young girl named Hilda and her mom who... I'm trying to think how to say this without spoiling, but they live in this area where there are trolls and elves and other sort of fantastical creatures, and it's sort of about Hilda's adventures and her friendships that she makes. And it's, I think if for some kids, it might be scary, some little kids, but I think for most it would just be fun and funny.
I saw the trailers for this on YouTube. It looked really good and really adorable.
Yeah.
Also, the author's name is Junji Ito. I just found
that. Oh, for your manga series? Yeah.
For the manga series, of which I have two books of.
Cool. But yeah, so I highly suggest the Hilda comics series. But if you have Netflix, and especially if you have kids, but also if you don't have kids, it's a really fun series. But the comic books are really beautiful. They're a little bit larger format than a standard book. And so it's just fun. I feel like both are very good. The show is very good for what it is, and the comics are very good for what they are. I like the way that, you know, it's just different formats.
Yeah.
So one is, you know, different layouts of panels, and one is more of a, you know, streamline. But yeah. So we have a little more time left. What else to talk about? I read another book this week, but it's an adult book. But it might be interesting to youth as well. Is for our nonfiction book club at the library. We're reading Killers of the Flower Moon.
Ooh.
And it's got a longer subtitle, like the Osage Indian Murders and the Birth of the FBI or something like that.
These are a lot of words in the title. So
it's about during the 1920s, there were a series of murders of Osage Indian folks in Oklahoma who were very wealthy. They were a very wealthy tribe due to oil that they had rights to. And so there were all of these deaths that were happening, some that were clearly murders and some that were sort of not quite as clear whether they were murders. And the sort of local law enforcement eventually could not handle it and figure things out, and they were continuing, so they brought in what eventually became the FBI. It was like in the early stages before it was called the FBI, and they did their investigations, and so it's split up between sort of the earlier investigations, the FBI involvement, and then sort of the writer of this book and his further sort of exploration of trying to figure out what happened. It's a very interesting book, and it's very well written. If you are a young person that likes reading about real things that really happened, it's very accessible, and it reads very I don't know how to explain it. Interestingly, it's not like it's not dry, it's not textbooky. You have enough textbook reading in your lives. But yeah, great book. Go book club. But now I guess it's time to hand it off to the afternoon show.
Bye.
So we will be back next Monday again to talk about some more books. Maybe some of the ones we said we were reading, maybe some different ones. We'll see.
I might bring in the Scary Stories Treasury and read a few short stories.
Oh, yeah, those are good. Album
Shorts.
Yeah, those are awesome.
With the freaky illustrations.
Yeah. but yeah, so we hope everyone has a good week and reads lots of great books. Happy reading! Yeah, le, 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 le.
Sou a dama da zona rabuda que manda no requebrar. A criola que boia te ama, te beija, faz viajar.
So ill, so ill, so ill, so ill.